John chapter 2, as we continue our study tonight on time times time. And, you know, one of the things that is taking place around our nation and our world right now, we see that we're in the last days, and it's really important for the church to be aware of what's taking place and what our part is. Amen. It isn't over till it's over. But in 1 John 2:18, the Word of God says, "Little children, it is the last time, and as you've heard, that the Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." Antichrist is someone that says there's another way to God other than Jesus Christ, okay? If there's only one way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father but by me." So there's no other avenues. And one of the things in our text tonight in Daniel chapter 7, Daniel had a vision, and the angel's given Daniel an interpretation of the vision, and the vision's being written out for you and I. There's three schools of thought. We have the pre-tribulation, which I truly believe. I believe the trumpet's going to sound. The dead in Christ are going to be raised, and those that are alive are going to be caught up in the air to meet the Lord. I believe this is the time of the Gentile. This is the time for us to find Christ. And in Daniel chapter 12, in a different vision, in Daniel 12, the Word of God says, he says that at that time, verse 1, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never as was since there was a nation, even to the same time. And at that time the people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book." Amen. So if your name's written in the book, I believe we get to escape this. I believe that the time of Jacob's trouble, or the 3.5 years of the tribulation, is for the Jews to come to the Lord, and they're going to lose their life for Jesus. Like it says in Romans chapter 11, verse 24, the Apostle Paul speaks of the olive tree and the olive branch, and the natural olive branch is the Jews. And he says in verse 24, "If thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree?" Amen. So this speaks of the time, trouble, time and a half time. It's the time of Jacob's trouble. And then there's the post-tribulation. And I kind of looked at Revelation chapter 20 for that. This is when Jesus comes back with his church and we take control and reign over this earth for 1,000 years. We reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Now, I don't know about you, in this lifetime there's 100 years, and it seems like a long time. Except when you get older, it seems to go faster. But it seems like a really long time, but it's only a tenth, it's only a tithe of the 1,000 years that we'll spend on this earth with Christ. He says this in verse number 1, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And cast him into a bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Wait a minute. Let's say this medicine they're trying to give for the COVID. And people are saying this is the mark of the beast. It's not the mark of the beast. It may have a microchip in it so that the beast knows where you're at. But the mark of the beast will be in your forehead or in your hand. And it will come if you deny Christ. Because if you don't deny Christ, you'll be put to death. Amen. So let's look at reality. That's not the mark of the beast. Amen. So let's not be confused. But he says in verse 5, he says, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Now, he is not speaking about the resurrection of the living. He is speaking about the resurrection of the dead. Those souls that have been in hell will come back and be raised for the white throne judgment of God. And that's another message, okay? So tonight we want to look at Daniel chapter 7 as we're looking at the time. And the text is Daniel 7, 15 through 28. But I'm just going to focus your attention on verse number 25 tonight. And verse 25 says, and he shall speak great words, speaking about the Antichrist, against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. And tonight I want to speak to you about the changing of time. And we're going to look at three things we find in this text this evening. The pride, the persecution, and the prevalence, to prevail, okay, as children of God. Amen. So let us pray. Father, we're so grateful for your word tonight. We're so grateful that you sent it to accomplish something in our hearts and lives. So Lord, I pray that you speak through me tonight. May the words that proceed out of my mouth bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to the hearers. Father God, may we be encouraged in your word. Father God, may our faith be increased. Your word declares that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And as your word goes forth tonight, our faith will increase by measure. So Lord, we praise you and give you glory for all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You know, when I was looking about this, what happened with Satan and what happens with the Antichrist is pride comes in. He thinks that he's greater than God. Amen. And, you know, Solomon said in Proverbs 16:18, he said, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. So when I'm thinking about the pride in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, don't forget the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 spoke about the trumpet shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise, and those that are alive and be called up to meet the Lord into the air, and so we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort eat one another with these sayings or with this word. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he gives us a little revelation of the Antichrist and the way he is. The apostle says this in verse 1. He says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, that man of sin being revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Amen. So first off, we find that the Antichrist is full of pride. He's exalted himself. He believes he is God. And Isaiah chapter 14, the prophet Isaiah is talking about and making reference to the fall of Babylon and the king of Babylon. And what the prophet Isaiah says in verse number 12, He says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above all the stars of God, and I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High." I want you to understand there's only one God, and God does not share his glory with anyone. Satan was booted out of heaven for that. Now the Antichrist is going to come to this earth and as the appearance of God, amen, and try to fool and deceive the nations. He's a deceiver and he's the artist of deception, okay? He's constantly trying to deceive. But in Isaiah chapter 47, we find the defeat, amen? Just as there was Babylon had a lot of intellects. And the problem with intellects, amen, is they tried to analyze everything. And they tried to discern the word by analyzing it. So they never have any faith. It all has to be built on logic, okay? And that's probably one of the most dangerous areas for children of God to think that we know more than he does, amen? What God calls us to do is to trust him with all of our hearts, lean not to our own understanding, in all of our ways acknowledge him, and he directs our path. Okay, he's going to call us to do some things that are outside the box that is not going to make common sense. Okay, so if we try to do it with our natural minds, we're going to be all messed up. Amen. We have to understand that he is God and we're not. Amen. But he gives us heavenly wisdom. That's why he says wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. But with all you're getting, get understanding that we're operating and moving under the wisdom of God, not under the wisdom of man. There's a difference between the wisdom of God and the wisdom of man. The wisdom of God is pure, undefiled. The wisdom of man is dirty. It's messed up. It's got the world and heaven in it. It's a mixture of the both. So he says in Isaiah 47, he was talking to Babylon, how they were trusting in their own wisdom. He said, "For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. And thou hast said in thy heart, I am and none else beside me. Therefore shall evil come upon thee. Thou shalt not know from whence it riseth. And mischief shall fall upon thee. And thou shalt not be able to put it off. And desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt not No. Amen. So faith, our faith is the substance of things we're hoping for, the evidence of things not seen. That's why he says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For they that come to God, must they believe that he is, and he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. So we're looking at this, and if we know these things are coming to this earth, and all the signs of the times are being revealed, it's time for the church to get busy. This is the time for the Gentiles to rise. Amen? And guess what? In the midst of the Gentiles moving, we're winning some Jews too. How are you winning Jews? Well, you know, during the tribulation, there's going to be 144,000 Jewish witnesses. There's going to be 12,000 from each tribe. Amen? That are going to be witnessing and leading men and women to the Lord during that time of Jacob's trouble. Aren't you glad we're not going to be here? Anybody with me? Can somebody shout hallelujah? And if you think you're going to be here, I'll pray for you. Hallelujah? Because I'm not. Amen? But what he says to us, he says that he was going to wear the saints out. Amen? Amen? And when I think about wearing the saints out, to me it speaks about persecution. Amen. So with that in mind, look with me in Luke chapter 21. Luke 21. Jesus speaking in verse number 12. Jesus said, before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and to the prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it, therefore, in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And you shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not a hair on your head perish. In your patience possess ye your soul. And I was saying, well, Lord, that sounds kind of weird. They're going to kill me. They're going to try to persecute me. They're going to kill me. And not a hair on my head is going to perish. It sounded like it was an oxymoron. Okay, it was a statement that didn't make sense. But then the Lord said to me, he said, absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He said that I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that believeth in me shall never die. Upon death, we're immediately caught up to heaven in the presence of God. And there's not a hair on our head that is missing. Where our soul goes right into heaven. And then we come back and we put on the Bible says we put this corruptible will put on incorruption. And this mortal shall put on immortality. And then death shall be swallowed up in victory. Amen. So, hey, I think I get a full head of hair. Did somebody say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So in other words, the Lord's saying is, hey, I may lose my life for his name's sake, but I gain my life. What has a man gained if he gained the whole world and lost his soul? And what would a man give in exchange for his soul? There's many that are in hell in torment right now begging for another chance. Their chance is over. Amen. Our chance is now. Our chance is to share his love with others. So Jesus said to us in John 15. Now, I know there's a lot of glory in serving the Lord and there's a lot of blessings in serving the Lord, but there's also persecution. Jesus said this in John 15, 20. He said, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. So when I looked at that, I was looking at what the Apostle Paul wrote to his student Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, because what I like about the letters that Paul writes to his students is we're all students of the gospel. We're studying to show ourselves approved workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So the apostle writes to his student Timothy, and listen to what he says. And verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. All. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou on the things which thou hast learned, and been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we find that pride comes before the destruction. Amen. We find that we're going to face persecution, but nothing like that's coming to this earth after we leave during that 7-year period of tribulation. But he also speaks of the times and times divided by time. He speaks that there's a beginning and an end and that they prevail. In other words, there's victory in the midst of the tribulation. Amen. And in our storms today, the Bible says, no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up we shall condemn. That's a heritage we have. We don't have to give in to the things that are being said. We don't have to give in to the things that are being done. We have to recognize that we're to be lights in this dark world that we're living in right now, and that we're to win people to Jesus, and his kingdom is to expand. I don't know about you, but he said the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, like some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. So we have some work to do for the kingdom. And when I was looking at the prevalence or the victory, the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 42, verse number 13. The word of God says, the Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm on the winning team. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm glad that God's already defeated the enemy at the cross of Calvary. When Jesus said it was finished, it was done, it was complete, and God wants us to enter into his finished work. But the Lord was speaking to me about another thing that's so important about the church and the body of Christ right now. Solomon, in all of his wisdom, in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse number 9, he said, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. You know, the Lord said this to me. He says, if two of you agree on earth as touching anything they ask, it shall be done of for them from my Father, which is in heaven. And what the Lord said, when we come into the agreement, the third party, God enters with it. Okay? And it's a strong cord that can't be broken or torn apart. Amen? But he is saying it's important to recognize that we need each other in the last days, that he didn't call anybody as an island, and he didn't call anybody to be alone. Amen. He said he will be as close as his name. But at the same time, when we come into agreement, we need to agree on some things tonight. Amen. You know, there's some wildfires that are destroying lives of not only the ungodly, but the godly and out west, that we need to stand in agreement for. We need to stand in the gap for them. We need to make up the hedge. Amen. You know, we may be facing one thing here, but they're facing another thing there. They're not only facing the COVID, the virus, but they're facing fires. Amen. And there's over 1 million acres that have already burned. That's a pretty big fire. Amen. So we're gonna call the waters of heaven to staunch it here in a little bit. But he reminded me tonight in Jeremiah chapter 15. Jeremiah 15. I just want to go with verse 21, because this is what I'm holding on to. The prophet Jeremiah said, I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible. Amen. Amen. I'm grateful that I'm not alone. How about you? Amen. I thank you that my Father's always with us, that he never leaves us nor forsakes us, that he's always just as close as the call of his name. So he says to us tonight, hey, in closing, we find that pride is what's bringing destruction to this world, amen? And God says, hey, we're going to go through some persecutions, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, and by faith we will prevail, either on earth or in heaven. Either way, it's a win-win situation, amen? I don't know about you, but I feel great that I'm on the win-win situation. That I can't, as long as I'm trusting in the Lord with all my heart and I'm not leaning to my own understanding, that God, amen, is taking care of me, and I'm a winner in Christ Jesus. But he calls for us to have patience. Wow. Anybody having a problem in that area? In Colossians chapter 1, verse number 9, he says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, did not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with all the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. So Father's saying to us today, hey, don't let pride get in the way. Amen. There's some persecution that's coming to the church, to the body of Christ, and there's persecution that's going to come to the Jew alike. And God says that during this, we prevail if we keep our trust in him, you know. The Bible says they'll lose their head proclaiming Jesus. But in Revelation chapter 20, we've seen all them in the presence of God, their heads are back on, okay? They're not headless any longer, amen? Sometimes I think, and some of the actions and things I do in my life, sometimes I think like I'm headless, amen? But I thank God for his grace and his mercy and his love. Amen. So God says, don't be confused. Amen. There is trials and there's tribulations that come. He says, but to you and I, children of God, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Bow your heads and let us pray. Father, we're so grateful for your word and grateful that you sent it here tonight to accomplish something in our hearts tonight. Father God, as we're looking at the times, and the dividing of times, the time of Jacob's trouble tonight, Father God, and the pride that the Antichrist will have. They'll try to exalt himself as he is God, and that many will be persecuted, but when they put their trust in you, they will prevail. So, Father God, I thank you, Father God, for every heart and every life, Father God. We bind the adversary that's attacking the families right now. We bind the adversary that's attacking the health and well-being of your children, Father God. We speak health to bodies right now. We bind every weapon the enemy's forming against physical bodies right now in the name of Jesus. We bind every attack of the adversary right now. And we declare healing in bodies and minds and souls and spirits in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for all that you've done, all you're doing, and everything you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.